Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vandachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dari. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vandachari. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Oh, so Srimad Bhagavatam 5.8.13. Patishu. On the forest paths. Cha. Also. Mugda Bhavena. By the childish behavior of the deer. Tatra tatra. Here and there. Vishaktamati. Whose mind was too much attracted. Pranaya. Mit love. Bhara. Loaded. Hidayaha. Whose heart? Karpanyat. Because of affection and love. Skandena. By the shoulder. Udvahati. Carries. Avam. In this way. Utsange. Sometimes on the lap. Urasi. On the chest while sleeping. Cha. Also. Adayaha. Keeping. Upalalayan. Fondling. Mudam. Pleasure. Paramam. Very great. Avapa. Patishucha magdababina tatra tatra vishakta matipanaya bahara hridaya karpanyat skandeno dhav dvat dvahati evam utsanga urasi cha hadyopalalayan mudam paramam abapi. Translation. When entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive to Maharaj due to his childish behavior. Maharaj Bharata would even take the deer on his shoulders and carry it due to affection. His heart was so filled with great love for the deer that he would sometimes keep it on his lap or when sleeping on his chest. This way he felt great pleasure in fondling the animal. God. Purport of Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Bharata left his home, a wife, children, kingdom, and everything else to advance his spiritual life in the forest. But he again fell victim to material affection due to his attachment to an insignificant pet deer. He again fell victim to material affection. What then was the use of his renouncing his family? One who is serious in advancing his spiritual life should be very cautious not to become attached to anything but Krishna. Sometimes in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities. But we should understand that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, there is no chance of our being victimized by material activities. Maharaj Bharata ki jai. So sometimes people say, oh, Prabhupada is so critical of women. You know, they have this problem, that problem, right? Yes. But here this is basically about sannyasis and their problems. You know? Because somebody may renounce his family, his house, his home, everything else, go live in Vrindavan very simply, and then buy some pet, you know, something, some monkey or something, you know, attached to a monkey or something, you know. And just taking care of a little animal like that and, you know, so on. Yeah. But then Prabhupada says, what's the use of all the rest of renunciation? You develop this attachment from one my disciple Raghunath Puri. He's, you know, he came from a very hard family. His parents were alcoholics and he had a really difficult childhood. He was growing up and actually he was getting into smoking some marijuana to take care of his emotional problems while he was in the temple in Denver. A lot of pressure with cooking and everything else. He started smoking some marijuana. So temple president Naikatma caught him smoking marijuana. He said, come to my office, like that. So he went there and he was terrified. And Naikatma said, where are you getting this marijuana? And spontaneously he said, but Prabhu, I only smoke with Prabhupada disciples. Yeah. And so Naikatma was, you know, okay, you're a devotee. You know, so they started talking about the whole situation, his problems, and you know, the standard and everything else, and they worked out some kind of practical thing like that, you know. But then, you know, part of it was that he always wanted, like, family, some affection. He even wanted maybe have some sons, you know, have a son, you know. But his thing is, it's too problematic, getting married, all these things like that, especially for me and my emotional situation. And it wouldn't even really be fair to some girl and so on. So what do I do, you know? So he finally decided to buy a rat. A pet rat, about this big without the tail, like that and stuff. They're kind of a breed that are, you know, domesticated, you know. So he read about them and everything else. Okay, that's what I'll do, you know. Son of Sam. There was a guy, famous guy in New York who was killing people called Son of Sam. Sam was a dog, you know. And so anyway, he became Son of Raghunath. You know? So about a rat, you know. And it was, you know, very, very sociable. Actually, and in the very beginning, it was just like in his room. He had a room about this big. It wasn't very big. It was a little bit longer than his body and his arms like that and stuff. You know, all the things were there. It was simple. Renunciate. You know, very peaceful. Working in the kitchen, serving, you know, doing a service like that with no pay, practically speaking, $10 a week or something like that. You would get, you know. And somebody had this rat, you know. And then the rat would urinate and defecate in one little place in the corner like that. So then he put a little thing, there was some wood chips and stuff like that you can buy for rats, and they would change it every now and again. And it was very clean, you know, like that. And then he would hide like little pieces of food all over his room, like on top of the books, behind this and that, you know. And this about sundown, you know, or maybe, because it was about summertime like this, he would go to bed about like 9 o'clock or something, and the rat would come out when it was starting to get dark, you know, because that's when they can see enough to move around, but the owls and stuff and the hawks can't eat them then because they can't see very well. You know. So the rat would then go all around the room and climb up on his body and jump up on things and, you know, find the food. And they keep it in their cheeks like that. So his cheeks all puffed up with the rat. You know, how cute. You know. Then about, you know, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, he finished his day's work. He would hop back into his cage and, you know, and eat a little bit and store the rest and go to sleep and, you know, wake up and eat and sleep and stuff like that. You know. So he developed this whole, you know, it actually could train it even. It would recognize, it could recognize maybe about 5, 6, 7 words like that, maybe 5 or 6 words. An elephant can recognize about 400 words like that. You know. And they have very long memory for people too, probably because the elephant never forgets. You know, like that, you know. So, you know, it was going on like that, and he would go out and take it out, and all the neighboring kids and everything else were so attracted to the rat and stuff like that. So on. You know. And finally, he left his body, and he was lamenting, you know, a rat, my son has died. You know. And he also had a squirrel there, too, and there were squirrels, and the squirrel had children. And they thought it was a male squirrel. It would give prasadam from the restaurant, and it kept coming, and finally it came with its baby, so it was a female squirrel, you know. And she taught the children to also come like that and take prasadam like that. They would come there and he would give prasadam to them. So it became like a 3-generational thing. You know. To the Gandharvas, Apsaras, Kanaras, we looked like rats. I remember this calculation did one time. You know, maybe in one generation you may have like 12 rat families you may see. So some Apsara may adopt some family, you know, or some Gandharva. And then they get all these different kinds of, you know, favors and stuff and happening in their lives, you know. And they do some kind of worship of this Gandharva and their family. And, you know, so he knows, you know, many generations like that and stuff. You know. And to the demigods, we look like was cockroaches like that. And to Brahma, we look like atoms and molecules to Brahma, you know, so on. So this whole point probably says that, you know, yeah, the idea is there is renunciation, but it's for a certain purpose, you know. This has become, you know, disconnected from things that at this point aren't connected to Krishna. We can't see the connection to Krishna. You know? Everything is Krishna, connected to Krishna, but indirectly, you know, we don't see that. You know, Bhumir apo nalavayu kamano buddheva cha ahankara itiyame bina prakritirashtada. My separated energies. It's actually real quite a magic trick that Krishna can, you know, make himself invisible, at the same time be the cause of everything. You know, how can he do this, you know, is not be visible? You know? Here's an example. Example Prabhupada gives to understand this. How Krishna is cause of everything, but attached. Time. Time is the external manifestation of the super soul. So if we're looking internally, we see Paramatma, Krishna, maintaining everything. But look externally, then he manifests himself as time. You know? Prabhupada says it's like you come home and there's a, you know, you come to your house and there's a recording there and it says, oh, Krishna, you know, this is Daddy. You know? I had to go to Chicago and something very important has happened. I made a recording for you. If you go over and you listen like that. You know? Are you listening to your father? Yeah, but it's separated. So Prabhupada says that's exactly how Krishna is present in this world, through the time factor. And we're connected to him, but he does this trick and, you know. And so it's very real. Time is very real. All these things happen, you know, like that, you know, unbelievable things like that. But that's Krishna. But he makes himself somehow or other, you know, not manifest. So the idea is we don't see these things, the connection, so we should minimize those things and focus on those things where we've accepted some connection to Krishna, and then gradually, you know, change everything to where we see Krishna all the time, like that. Purify our consciousness. So if we just, you know, renounce everything, what was supposed to be renounced, you know, the greatest attachment is sex desire, because that's the greatest attachment in the spiritual world. So here becomes the greatest, you know, material attachment, like that. And the Prabhupada says the greatest attachment in the material world is father for daughter, right? Yeah, father for daughter. It's the greatest attachment. Because it's a subtle sexual relationship. I'm the best friend. My little girl, I have to take care of her. You know, you give her away to some boy. You know, these feelings, you know. But it's very intense. You know? So what's the use? Again, you leave all these things and you become attached to some rat, you know, or something like that. You know? So this is, you know, chastisement, and warning, you know, for sannyasis like that. They're warning for ladies. You get a female body, you got to watch out for certain things like that. It works in a certain way. You become a sannyasi, I got really heavy sannyas karma. You know, my tendency is just to renounce everything. Problems, you know, it's just a, you become a maya body. Right? Tendency of the sannyasis will all become Maya bodies and stuff like that. Yeah? So, something else, become a scholar. Yeah? And you got your, but I know more than others. I know more than others. But every now and again, you make an ass of yourself, right? Don't you say something which is stupid like that? But that's what Krishna does. Even if we're not sincere, you know, out of his mercy, he keeps like agitating us a little bit and showing us this is like, you know, not quite correct. You know, how graceful I am, how beautiful I am, how merciful I am. All these, you know, feminine qualities. I am the Radha, the goddess, and I am Helen of Troy. You know? Like that. And then Krishna comes along and does something and you realize you're an idiot. Like that, you know. Like that. But everything is just everybody. You know, sannyasi, renounced, and realize you got this rat. You know. Some child comes along and says, why? What is it when a little girl, Madan Mohan's daughter, he said he was walking through the temple room in Bhaktivedanta village in Central California where he had the Gurukula for some time. He came to the temple room like this, had to cut across, and his daughter was like about 5 years old. And she had piled up these cushions and was sitting there like that, you know. He said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm being renounced. What do you mean? That's what all the sannyasis do. He's like that. You know, so yeah, it's like, here I am renounced, you know, big sweet, like that special food. You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, what
does
it mean? She said, we are
initiating
each other.
Oh, I see. Guru. Your name is. Yeah. No, it's like that. He's Krishna, you know, so many ways. He comes and keeps, you know, even if we're not sincere, he tries to remind us like that, you know. And if we're sincere, then, you know, we get a little bit deviated right away. And so when we're really sincere, he doesn't have to do it externally, just within our heart. He says, hey, you know, oh, yeah. Because it's very natural. Until nature is, you know, it's designed for this whole purpose. It's God. Daivihi esha gunamayi mamamaya durataya. It's designed, right? By Krishna. So even Krishna becomes bewildered. What are some examples of Krishna becoming bewildered by the external energy? Anybody know? When did Krishna become kind of amazed? Amazed? Bewildered? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, when he saw Agasura? You know, the cowherd boys were walking inside. Even for a moment, even Krishna was amazed. He says, wow. Yeah. You know, at that moment, Maya probably feels pretty, you know, pretty proud, you know. And so Krishna's appreciating it. She's doing her job, you know, like that. But for one moment, he goes, wow, amazing, you know, like that. You know. So, you know, she's always coming up with new things, right? You know, what can I... He's figured this out. He's figured that out. He knows about this trick. He knows about that trick. Let me think now. You know? What can I do? What is Maya's last trick?
I am God.
Huh?
I am God.
No, she says, you're God. she comes and says, oh, Srihari, you figured it all out. You have to give up sense gratification. You have to renounce honor and prestige. You figured it all out. Now you get the supreme prize. You become my husband. You become God. Oh, thank you. So in different ways she does that. So Bharata, you know, she caught him with a deer, you know, like that. His whole purport. Then Prabhupada says, if we remember that everything is for Krishna, there's no chance of our being victimized by material activities. So one time Prabhupada says, Maya is always waiting to catch us. And the only way we can always remember Krishna 24 hours a day is to chant 16 good rounds. Because your mind and heart become conditioned. Something comes, but you Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You know, you keep very easy to pull back to that. You know, because you know you can chant with, you can think about something else and go on chanting, right? Your mouth is chanting. You know, your mouth is going to go back to Godhead, but you're going to stay here with all these thoughts like that. You know, but it's, you know, it's just kind of difficult to keep doing it without. And so then naturally, when you're chanting, you keep coming back, keep coming back. And a little bit sincere, then for a couple hours you become conditioned to that. I mean, you see some movie, you know, and you can't stop thinking about it for, you know, for a week or something like that. You keep on some movie or something like that. You know, you read something. So Hanuman showed up someplace like that, and they were glorifying him. and saying how he was still reverberating with recitation of the Vedas. So you're reciting this stuff, chanting, and it reverberates in your consciousness like that. So if we're always chanting 16 rounds, you know, every day, Prabhupada's deciding, okay, this dosage is enough. And if they're doing the rest of the stuff, 64 rounds is really what's required. But it's difficult for these guys. Okay, so we'll include Mangal Arati, we'll include deity worship, Tulsi Puja, you know, it's reading books. And then the 16 rounds will be enough. And beyond that, because it's authorized activity, you know, then Krishna himself, even though it may not be so mechanically perfect, Krishna himself says, okay, you did it, so I'll protect you, and you were sincere, you know, like that. So by chanting 16 nice rounds, then we can always see everything meant for Krishna. You know? And as they get better, our perception gets finer and finer. Like that. So any comments? Complaints? No? Well, it's kind of there, but it's present by never passing away for a moment. I think kind of like oscillates, like that kind of tilts a little bit. You know?
The question was, says Krishna has a routine day, he gets up in the morning and goes to God, so there's no time.
Yeah.
How do you normally get up and go on and imagine?
Yeah.
What's the reference
point? Okay. There's a book by Ernst Pappel called Mind Works. And I was trying to find it again and again, you know. I could not find it, you know. Internet, Google. And finally realized, because it's all one word, Mind Works. So these stupid computer search wouldn't find it, you know. And I was looking at some other guy, Max Ernst. You know? It was a nice book, you know. So he's going through different things. He's a biologist from Germany. And one of his experiments was how long is the present moment? Like that, you know. And so he came, and the people he was studying, you know, white rats, you know, it was, you know, Westerners, the maximum duration of the present moment was 3 seconds. You know? The other cultures, it may be a little bit longer, or some people may be shorter, you know, people like that, you know. So if an event takes place within 3 seconds, your mind can, you know, quantize it like that. This is one event, you know. If it goes longer than that, you have to say it was like, you know, this happened, then that happened, then this happened, like that, so on. So I started trying to chant the Maha Mantra, you know, within 3 seconds. You know? That's about six-minute rounds. And it was a fact. You know, I could actually get this point where I was just conscious of the whole Maha Mantra at one time. And then I, you know, part of it kind of slipped off this end, I would kind of push it back, that would go off. And, you know, then, yeah, you could do it. I actually see, you know. Then I became conscious that for whatever it is, 9 years of being a devotee, I'd always been focusing on Hare Rama more than Hare Krishna. It was, you know, so then I focused on Hare Krishna, and it was a different experience. So that's iconographic thinking, the yantra, right? You got these yantras. Those are computer programs without, you know, without time, without linear time. You know? Another example like this. See, this is nice. We support this in terms of Western science. I don't know. I participated in this experiment. The guy had two clicks. I had a click, whistle, and a buzz. Okay. Now they would come in different order, you know, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. And all you do is just sit there listening to the tape recorder, you know, mark 1, 3, 2, you know, whistle, click, buzz, buzz, click, whistle, whistle, buzz, click. And it seems like, well, it's kind of stupid, you know. So you're going down, marking it down. But then they start becoming, you know, faster. The interval becomes less. So now you can distinguish one pair. You just catch the first two, then you can deduce the last one. Click, whistle, must be buzz. But you cannot actually tell that it came third. Now it's starting to be more interesting. You've got to focus. And at some point it becomes so fast that you can distinctly hear all three sounds. It isn't like they just become, you know, like flashing on a screen, become a continuous thing. No, you can hear three distinct sounds. But you cannot tell which is first, which is second, and which is third. Like that. They're all present. So therefore, time as a line is very dubious, you know, as an empirical entity. We use this, but it's not that, you know, that it's something like, oh, that's the way time is. Even physicists don't still accept. Well, they, you know, yeah, it's the whole thing about time. Time is like their god for the physicists, you know. is it a continuous function or not? You know, does it branch or not? Right? Is it spiral? Is it, you know, or is it isomorphic? Every step is just the same, or is it like a parabola, you know, or something, or like a, you know, it gets faster than here and slows down. This pendulum is like that, right? You know, on the outer part of the pendulum swing, it's slower than when it's in the middle, like that, you know. But then we try and break that into linear time.
You know?
The
commission,
mind, sometimes we do say that it comes
going slow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, if I sit next to a pretty girl, 2 hours may pass like 2 minutes, you know. But if I'm sitting on a hot stove, then, you know, 2 seconds may pass by. Yeah. So the point, yeah, it depends on what your experience is, like how much, in some ways, how much you're concentrating. Whoop! You know, like that. So many time, this is my idea about time. So at least we can see that in this iconographic time is more like this contemplative Bodhi position. In that position, we can see Krishna's right here. I'm just focusing on one part of the yantra. You know, with my mantra, shring, 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 aung, aung, aung. And you get it for the bija, you get a yantra. I think it's a direct way to translate them. It's like, because they're like standing waves. Take a very thin metal rod, put a metal plate on top of it, put sand on top of it. This is what they did before they had electricity and stuff. Take a bow from a violin and pass it over it, and the sand will form a pattern. And by changing the frequency, the size of the rod, you can get different patterns like that. You know? So you take the mantra, you know, ring, 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 and get it going in a rhythmic pattern, like that properly. Then what do you get? You get a yantra, which matches up. This, you know, this is my speculation. You know? I think somebody even did it. I saw an oscilloscope pattern one time of the Sri Yantra. You know? So then you can tell if you're pronouncing properly. You know, a little more here. Shring, 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 shring. You know? Yeah. And the meters are saved through different systems. So therefore we can actually, you know, re-implement these Agni Astras. You know? Yeah. And so even materially speaking, you can begin to appreciate that in Goloka, you know, everything can be there at one time. You know, Mangala Artik, you know, Raslila, you know, but it's just like, you know, it's just like looking at it. You know, Mother Yashoda sees Krishna coming. Krishna comes home in the evening, Brajajana Ranjana, right? Well, what do people see? What do Mother Yashoda see? Always. Every different thing, but really she sees, you know, Gopal like that, even though he's in Kishore Leela, right? And she sees, you know, Gopal, you know. Stavra Janga Madeki, Nadeki Tara Morti, Savarta Hoyanija Ista Deva Sporti. Ramananda Roy saw Lord Chaitanya as Krishna and Radha and passed out, came back to consciousness and said this, and you're Radha and Krishna. He said, Stavra Janga Madeki. An advanced devotee sees everything moving and non moving, but actually what he sees is Ista Devata everywhere. You know? And so then the gopis, they see, always see Krishna as more as Kishore, like that. You know? So it's the same, you know, it's all the pastimes are there, you know, at one time, but all we're doing is just like emphasizing a different perspective on it. You know? Are there feelings of separation when Radha and Krishna are present, meeting each other? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because that makes it more tasty. Oh, we're together, but it won't last forever. So we have to be very careful to use every moment like that. So in the yoga, there's Vipralamba. And the Vipralamba, of course, there has to be feelings of yoga, otherwise, you know, couldn't go on. We're separated, but someday, maybe we'll meet again, you know. Making flower garlands. Krishna's gone to Mathura, and they're making flower garlands every day, and Krishna never comes. And so one gopi says, I'm not going to make any more flower garlands. Krishna's never coming back. Another one says, but what if he does come back today, and there's no flower garlands for him? What'll he think? Okay. So, you know, feeling of yoga is always there. It's more intense. You know. So how to mix it? You know, sometimes, you know, it's just, again, it's like sometimes a little of this, some little of that, you know, big feast, you know, taking some sweet, some salty, some sour, and, you know. But there's no linear time. You know? Yeah. Maybe, I think it is, when explanation is, it kind of tilts, you know, like Krua takes Krishna away. It happens in Vrindavan, supposedly. And it kind of tilts that way, but then Vrishvasis cannot live without this, and so then it goes back, and then they all think it was a bad dream, you know? So it's kind of there, but it's like some kind of like bad dream that Krishna may be separated from us. You know? The gopis don't have any husbands in Vrindavan, in Goloka. In Gokula they do, in Goloka they don't. But they never quite figured that out. It's kind of like they think they do, you know? You know? There are no demons in Goloka, but there are rumors of them. You know?
Does
the Kaliya
dance
like that? Huh?
Does he get up on the top of
Kaliya and in Gokula? In Gokula, in Bomalila, the demons are there, but in Goloka, there are only rumors of them. So they're there. Tamal Krishnamurti said, he asked Sridhar Maharaj, how do the demons appear in the spiritual world? And he said, Pasu. And he said, what do you mean? He said, it's like, here's the deity. He's Krishna, but he takes his very passive role like that. You know? As we become more spiritual, we can see Krishna smiling or upset or even more like that. Then he gave the example like some Englishman, he goes in India and there's a tiger, killing people, so he goes with his guys and finally he kills a tiger and risks his life. And he stands with his foot on the tiger's head with his Indian gun bearers and people next to him, and they take a picture. Then he goes back to England afterwards and he's showing all of his pictures of his time in India and he shows this picture and all the ladies are going, oh, wow, you're so brave, he's so big. So he's there, it's like Nrisimhadev. He's not, throwing intestines all over Vaikuntha like that, like spaghetti or something, But it's like that, it's like a picture or something and the Lakshmis look and they say, oh, you're so wonderful. And, they're enjoying the rasa, but in a, like that, it tilts, so there's like a little bit of a flavor of it, but not too much to disturb things. Yeah? Okay? You want to go there? We can arrange it. Yeah. Close your eyes and hold your breath. In 3 minutes, you'll be there. In Goloka. This is the rapid one. Or stop drinking water. Is it 3 days? You can go. Or else stop eating. You can be there in 3 weeks. We got this, different pathways, red, yellow, blue. What else? I guess live on fruit and milk in 3 years. 3 years. Good luck to God. Huh?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know which one that is. I know, we were talking about it, because I've been in his house a thousand times. Where is it?
The wall is hanging there, like devotees are embracing.
Oh, wow, look at that.
One woman is entering
his
picture,
and
another devotee is embracing.
It's the front,
I think, just like when we enter his house.
Is it B.G. Sharma's picture? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a nice painting.
Yeah. That one, yeah. It's good. Search for the lost servant. Yes, sir. You might say he's self-sufficient, So it's not necessary in the sense that we need something, But in the sense that he, probably says one time, Krishna wants our service and Krishna demands our service. He orders us to serve him at the same time too. He really, really, really likes it. You want to go to Krishna, Krishna wants us to go to him. It's not a one-way thing. He really is disturbed by being insulted by people. Like it actually does hurt his feelings, But for his case, it's all a matter of pleasure. That's the point from his point of view. Nothing wrong with the material world. It's okay. People want to have their independence and act like this and that. That's part of just their nature and stuff. And you know, even heathen, he enjoys, you know, enjoys pastimes here like that. Yeah. And so Kubja is the example of that Shakti, I forgot what it's called. Yeah. She wants to enjoy with Krishna. Yeah. She doesn't want Krishna to enjoy, you know, but she wants to enjoy with Krishna. Yeah. She wants to enjoy eating prasadam. Won't eat anything else. Very strict. Nothing but prasadam. But when it comes time for prasadam, okay, I'm going to enjoy. You know? So that's that. So Prabhupada says it's very, Krishna associates always with the internal potency in conjugal relation. With that conjugal relation, it's only sometimes. You know? So he does sometimes. He visits Kubja's house. And, you know, but that, you know, it's also a kind of pleasure for him. You know? Yeah? Some material world is okay. If you got the right angle on it. You know? Yeah. Yeah? Prisons are okay. You're in a prison today. You know? Yeah, it's a good thing, you know. Because, you know, even people, some people, I mean, was like, what's the guy? He was a devotee or something. He was a thief, you know. But I said, oh, he robbed me. You know? I was a treasure. Only time I ever got robbed. It wasn't my fault, too. My fault. You know? Anyway, he was just his nature, you know. So he's in prison, as far as I know. He just kind of arranges his, because he realizes God is just, you know, I can't control myself. So people become institutionalized that, like that. It's a problem in prisons. He says somebody will go to prison or something, you know, stealing something from the store, you know. There's a whole story about it, famous story. A guy was in New York and winter was coming and stuff, living in the street kind of pretty much. And so he's getting his shoes and stuff were kind of looking, falling down, shabby in his pants, but he had a coat that looked kind of good. So he kind of went into a restaurant real quick and sat down and, it was a very expensive restaurant. His idea was enjoy a really big, good meal and then not be able to pay for it. Then he'd have to go to jail. And he would spend the winter in jail like that, you know, 3 months in jail like that. It was very planned out like that. You know? And he was already thinking about, the jail and which one he would probably go to because of his crime and who was there and he needed this person, that person, and what kind of different events they would have going on like that and stuff. You know? And somehow, I forgot what happened was that... You know, something changed like that, in the end of the story like that. But that's institutionalized. There's some people, they just, you know, prison, they feel this is the right place for me. I don't want to hurt people, but I got this ujvala, right? He has the impulse control of like a 5-year-old child, you know? It's kind of like if Haladar was like, you know, 6 feet tall. It's like, God, caused problems for everybody, you know? But that's what it's like. It's ujvala just about like that. He's a little more intelligent than Haladar, you know? He killed his father and just like couldn't control himself. He was in prison in the Vacaville mental health facility. In California, Vacaville prison is for like, you know, completely insane people, you know, with criminal results. So I was coming home on the train one time in San Francisco, you know, and people were, you know, kind of smiling at me and nodding, and Hare Krishna. And I was like, yeah, well, it never happens, you know. And one black guy said, right on, Hare Krishna. So I got home and the temple and the body said, oh, did you see the front page of the Chronicle? I said, no. And it had this article that says, Hare Krishna sets fire to Charles Manson in Vacaville mental health facility. Like that, you know? So Charles Manson, one of the most universally hated people on earth, you know, he killed all these people and stuff like that. So the story was they had this, artistic therapy thing where they could make birdhouses or something like that, you know. Paint them and stuff. And so Charles Manson started saying really bad things about Prabhupada, and Ujjavala poured paint thinner on him and set him on fire, you know. And the guards came over and put him out and chastised Ujjavala and out. Oh, shouldn't do that to Charlie, you know. Yeah. And so he found some medication which could help him, you know. So that he got out and he came to the temple and was taking medication and on parole. Everything was okay, you know. After some time, he decided, or somebody told him, you shouldn't take karmi medicine. So he stopped taking his medication. Oh, he was okay. He told us before. Then the pujari, Sunday morning, Ujjavala said, I can't have a little prasadam. He said, but I'm really busy right now. Don't bother me, you know. A little rough, you know. So Ujjavala, you know. Then later on, the Sunday feast was starting about, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The pujari was, you know, upstairs coming out of the shower to go down to the aarti, and the kirtan's going on below. And he came out of the shower, and there's Ujjavala with a kitchen knife in his hand like that, saying, "You didn't give me any prasadam this morning." You know, and the guy's, "Well, I'm sorry." So he started stabbing him, backing up. You know, and the pujari said he was feeling like I could either, you know, this chant Hare Krishna and die, but maybe he'll attack somebody else. You know, like that, you know? You know? So he started screaming, and then Udareta, his other case, was this combat trooper in Vietnam and couldn't control his senses, but was there. Krishna arranged this, you know. So he ran up, and he's about your size. Udareta's, Udareta's big guy. And he was, so, okay, you know. So you put your hand around the person's neck from the back, and then lock it like this. So now the neck is like this, right? It squeezes the carotid arteries. This is your Green Beret training. Like that, and then lift him up on your hip. Like that, you know. So even though he's much smaller, and Udareta, like, Ujjwala like this, and we count 1, 2, 3, 4. Like that, and 6, can't remember when. So even more than that, the person could die. And he's just unconscious. Like that, you know. And so then, you know, then the police showed up in like 30, 40 seconds, like that, really quick. You know, and took him off to the back of the mental health facility again. And the pujari, after some time, had his lungs fixed and came back and went and saw him like that. Ujjwala was crying, "I'm really sorry." And the pujari said, "It's okay, it's my fault. I offended Mahaprasada. I'll never do that again. Anybody asks for Mahaprasada, doesn't matter how busy I am, I'm going to give it to them. You taught me a lesson." No, you know. So, you know, they were just, it was okay, you know. But I have a real suspicion they're never going to let him out again like that. You know, one murder and one, you know, attempted murder like that. That's just it. He's just going to stay there. You know? And I have a real suspicion he probably doesn't feel like it's unfair. He feels like this is okay. You know, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to kill somebody. I don't want to stab somebody. You know, so this is okay place. You know? And there too, it's also they have people there. They don't treat them like they're like evil exactly. They treat them like they got this problem, and so they, you know, try and work something out. They can have some practical life, like making license plates for the state of California or something. In different ways to see people. You know? So from Krishna's point of view, the material world is just, I haven't still quite figured it out myself, but basically that's the principle, right? Is that, you know, some people just have this desire to, you know, be just like Krishna. So it's kind of natural. I see children want to live with the adults, and so, you know, it's kind of, that's the sahajya desire. You know? We all had this desire to kind of like, it'll be like Krishna. So Krishna says, "Okay, you know, I don't really recommend it, but you know, but it's there. You know, try it out. You know, and maybe you'll like it sometime. And I'll come and visit you and see you sometimes." My friend Krita Karma, he was in temple in Vrindavan. He was a general manager of the temple like that. Really good manager. You know? And then he's a Cuban. And then Bhavananda Prabhu started having all these problems with other people, with homosexual entanglements and. It all became public, and you know, and somehow or other, people started blaming him, you know, for having inspired all this. And our pure guru fell down because of your nasty association. Although he was almost nothing, he got just sucked along into it like that and stuff. He had some homosexual tendencies. You know. So at that point, he became totally furious with Krishna. You know, "Krishna, you treated me this way and that." And so he was, "I'm finished with you, Krishna. You know. I never want to talk to you ever again." So he had his sister send him money for the air ticket, and he flew back to San Francisco. He said on the airplane he had just enough money to buy like one thing of whiskey, you know. And he said he forced himself to drink it just to show Krishna, I'm breaking the four principles, see? It was terrible, you know. He just forced himself to finish it, like that, you know, to show Krishna. It's all over, you know. So he landed in San Francisco, and he went to a really cheap hotel in the Tenderloin, south of Market. This place is like, you know, unbelievable. And they had stories about it one time. I couldn't even read them. You know, it was like, you know, it was just like, wow. Was, you know, I won't tell you. Really bad place. So he got a cheap hotel there. You know, then he woke up early because of his jet lag, and you know, it's a little light outside. Okay, so he went out. I'm not saying. So he said he was thinking. He told me this. He was thinking, okay, my life begins here. You know, separate from Krishna. And now I would have to eat remnants of Krishna. I don't have to get up and follow Krishna's schedule. I can do what I want to do like that. You know, I am Krishna, you know, like that. So he said he went down, went to the front door. He was standing right in the doorway, and this light was coming in the morning. And across the street, in this four-story hotel, some guy screamed at the top of his lungs, "I can't take it anymore! I can't take it anymore!" And jumped off, you know, And he said it was just like Maya. Maya Devi was telling him, you know, welcome to the fun house, Carlos. It was exactly like that. He said, I'm not hiding anything. This is the kind of girl I am. You want to enjoy me? Come on. You can enjoy me, but you're gonna suffer like that. It was very clear like that, you know, very clear. And he said he knew he had this choice to go out or go back in. It was just a kind of like, this is how we get here, you know. And so he stood there, he said, for 45 minutes in the doorway. The police came and they interviewed him. Did somebody push him off? And no, he just jumped by himself. Nobody pushed him, you know. He said the whole thing. And then finally, he went on in, like that, you know, determined, you know. But it wasn't like, you know, I guess this is how it happens, you know. It was Maya at that point doesn't deceive us, you know. But you want to be deceived, you know, on and off. One deal he said, okay, Krishna, I worked for you so hard for so many years and I have nothing. So if you're a fair guy, you know, you owe me something. So I want to have a lot of money, like that. So he went out trying to find a job and this and that. And finally he got a job at the San Francisco Mint, like that. And they had these big bags of money like that. You got to move them like that, you know. They give free hernia operations because people tear themselves, you know. So at one point he's carrying his bags of money and he stops and says, hey, this is not what I meant. Now, come on, you got to be fair, you know. I know I have lots of money, yeah. But it's not what I meant, you know. You know, I'm not enjoying myself, you know. So that day, he went to a bar after work, a club, and he met this guy who had the Language Institute with a PhD, with three more PhD partners. And they were teaching, experimenting with their new techniques, but none of them were businessmen. So they had like five students or something, you know. And they started talking to the guy, and the guy said, we need a manager, you know. And well, hey, I'm a manager, you know. And so within 1 year, they had 500 students. And they were basically making money, just, you know, hand over fist. And so he told me at that point, one Saturday and Friday night, he was walking out, like all perfumed up, dressed well, already intoxicated on one substance, with two more kinds of intoxicants with him, going off, you know, with like $500 for the night just to enjoy the clubs in San Francisco, which is, you know, unbelievable, you know. He said at that point his mind set. He said, Krita, you know, what is it? You can't do it. I can't do what? You can't kill your soul. What do you mean? But he said, do it. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to annihilate his spiritual nature by, you know, 10 sense gratification, by intoxication, everything, you know, to become a cockroach or something. But he knew, at that point, he knew you can't do it. You can't, in the end, you cannot destroy your spiritual nature. So at that point, he realized, I have to apologize, I have to go back, and that's when that's when I met him. He came back to the temple in San Francisco. We prayed for a long time. And he was explaining his whole history to me and everything else like that. You know? But it was, you know, extremely instructive fall down. His whole life was very interesting. You know? He also, because he's a very lusty Cuban guy, very good manager, very friendly and everything else, very nice. You know? But really, you know, this is so passionate. You know? And so he had prayed to Krishna, God. He said, just force me to come to Mangal Arati. Force me to get up and chant my rounds. Just force me to do it. You want me to force you? Yes, please. Say it three times. Force me. Okay. You've got AIDS. Like that, you know. So he contacted us somewhere along the line. He got it. Doing the blood test. And so he's, you know, going to Mangal Arati, everything else, this kind of stuff. It doesn't advance. You know? So I asked Jaigore Sundar, who was in charge of AIDS testing for the state of Maryland, you know, he's like 50 employees under him, about this. And he said, yeah. He said, if you're following regular sadhana bhakti, getting up early, chanting, you know, dancing, taking prasadam, he said, it won't progress. Your immune system will become so strong, it won't progress. He said, yeah, but how many people can do this? You know, like that. It's a regular disease, your immune system, like that. So, you know, Krita Karma was like, you know, come to Mangal Arati or die. It was like that. So for many years that worked, but then finally he started to slide, you know, again like that, you know. Does it say why Maharaj Bharata took sannyas? Why did he take sannyas? Maharaj Bharata, why did he take sannyas?
He didn't like that he wanted to advance.
It wasn't because he was afraid of material nature? No?
No. Yeah.
So because he wanted to become a devotee, like that, some taste. Because many times, the main reason for taking sannyasi is usually because of material suffering. You've gone through the whole thing, oh God, and you just want to give it all up, get out of the whole thing. So that was Kṛta Karma's motivation for being a sannyasi, you know, being a strict, you know, renunciate. You know. And he couldn't maintain it exactly. So he kind of fell back into some sense gratification. I don't think anything ever gross, but then his age started progressing, and he left his body about 3 years ago like that. You know. But, you know, it's experiences.
Yeah. So, yeah. Could Krishna do on somebody like him?
Yeah.
Is Krishna forgetting that he didn't want to like
the view? Oh, definitely. And he's, you know, one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So he did many good things, you know. But it's just that, you know, he's, you can see him, and maybe in his next year he'll show up here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe he became, he could have become Bharat Maharaj. He's a very noble person, you know, like that. So he could have taken birth just like this. And then, you know, had this, here we go one more time, right? You know, Kṛta Muni, he didn't want to, you know, engage in sense gratification, didn't want to get married, have a beautiful wife, vacations, enjoy all these things. He was so unhappy, he was still attracted. But, you know, Sachin Narayan said, yeah, I know, but, you know, you got this attachment, you're going to have to go through it one more time, right? You know? And then you'll see it finally. This time you'll see it clearly and you understand, you know? So Kardama took sannyas, Devahuti had one Bhagavatam class and, you know, became perfect. You know? So Bhagavatam is like, yeah, it's full of these stories, you know. So where, I mean, you think about it, I would say it's actually what we're talking about. Maybe the story comes up because we're talking about this. This is just the kind of thing that may end up with. He may end up taking this kind of birth and, you know, being a good manager, taking care of people like that, heroic and stuff like that. But in the end, you know, it's just, actually he had a parrot. There was this one parrot. Somebody gave his parrot to Los Angeles Temple. And they kind of passed here and there. Nobody wanted him like that, you know. So finally, you know, Kṛta Karma took him, like, you know, it was like a pet. And he would negotiate with him. And that one time he got off and chewed up everything, half the things in his room, chewed them up, you know. So he came and he was shooting water in his face with a spray thing like that, you know. And the parrot was like complaining and stuff, you know. And they're intelligent, they're about, maybe like about a 3-year-old child. They can, you know, they say things and they mean it, you know, like that, you know. And so he was like, he would like talk to the parrot and stuff and argue with it, you know. He'd come over to the temple for Sunday for lunch on weekdays. He put the parrot in the tree in the lobby like that. And the parrot would stay there and talk to everybody. He was very happy, you know, like, you know, people would come and give him grapes and stuff like that, you know. You know? So, you know, he developed this. That actually may have been the cause of his fall down. From like following the standards strictly, because somebody gave him this parrot, and he was sort of like, you know, developing this parrot consciousness. Mm-hmm.
You know? So the way you're telling it seems like every devotee goes to this
temple
different.
No, I think it's not. One purport probably says we all enter the material world as Lord Brahma. You know, everybody kind of knows that, but it's kind of, you know, that's the case. Everybody here has been Lord Brahma at one point like that, you know? Yeah, you know? But at that point, you can get right back out. You can get, hey, just forget it, you know? You know? Well, not even that. You can just go to the Brahma Jyoti. Gopal Kumar says, I know Krishna has devotees in places like Ayodhya and other places like that. And he said, but my mind just cannot stay fixed on it. And I think it must be like being in hell or something like that. So from Goloka, you know, it's a fall down just to come to the level of Lila avatars, right? And lose this, you know, this intimacy with Krishna. You know? Then like Mahavishnu, it's still Vaikuntha, spiritual world. You know? So it's, you know, it's a very, you know, smooth gradation, you know? You know, one to the other, like that. You know? And there's a Shiva, Sadashiva, and there's a Shiva in the material world. And, you know, it's just, you know? Yeah. So, it's kind of free will is there. Constitutional position. Yeah.
So the sannyasi, it was really bad for him the protection for the deer, the brahmachari having
protection for a rat. Yeah.
I mean, it was almost like Krishna wants you to be aware of where you're at.
Yeah.
That's actually sometimes serving Krishna because you're not exactly, but inadvertently you are, because you're saving yourself from falling out by like falsely renouncing. You're serving Krishna, you're helping your devotional service.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, everybody's in different positions. So for some person, that's the proper medicine.
Right.
Somebody else, it's a kind of poison.
Right. So you know. How do you know what would be sense gratification for,
yeah,
for a devotee?
Yeah. Yeah, or pet deer. Yeah, yeah. No, Krishna tries to tell us. Ultimately, everything is coming from Krishna. That's it. That's it. He tries to inform me what's right, what's wrong. He does that through so many agencies, you know, through devotees, you know, acharya, guru, through scriptures, yeah, and as a super soul, you know, because he's right there with you all the time. He never leaves us. We can't exist without him. You know, it's like a little, again, like a, you have like a 3-year-old child. That, you know, if they're just abandoned, they'll die within like about a few days. You know, even if you have in regular house, they can't take care of themselves. You know, it's the same way. We have to be with Krishna, but then you know, we're not with him directly, but either with Durga or Radha. So it's our choice. I want daddy. I want mommy. You know, okay, so I want Durga. You know, so you get two older sisters. And one is always inspiring you to do nonsense like that. You know, another one's inspiring you to do good things. So it's your choice, but that's, you know, you have to be under somebody's care. You know? And then from that, then, you know, Krishna is the Paramatma, you know, avatar. Avatar, he's always telling us. You know, scriptures, he's always telling us. And then the Guru Tattva. You know? And so we, you know, therefore, if we're sincere, halfway sincere. No, he should have been in the woods by himself. Yeah. It's going to come up here somewhere. I wish it was a purport. You know, right over here. So really, maybe the most important. Well, in some ways, very important.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm talking about that purport because it's a really subtle thing. Yeah. Purport's really intense. Yeah. And it says in the purport he accidentally fell down, but Prabhupada, and it says in the text, but Prabhupada just says, no, it's not possible. On the platform of bhava, on this level, you can't, there's no maya. Yeah. It's a beginning stage where you know, the prema is there, but it's not intense. It's what it is. It's like you got an apple tree, but it's not quite producing fruit yet. Not really, they're apples, but just little ones like that. Okay, so it's going to be one more year, two more years. So bhava is the immature stage of prema. At that time, there's no maya. Yeah, like that. And so it wasn't because of like an accidental fall down. You know, it was because he chose to do it. Yeah, and therefore, Krishna was as a good friend came along and said, hey, you know, kind of like, what are you doing? You know, he gave him a kind of a poke. Oh wow! Thank you. And that was enough. He could have rejected that too. He could have, you know, rejected that mercy and gone, you know, but he didn't. That was enough to wake him up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last question. Yeah. Yeah. The body doesn't get diseases. The body is a disease, right? And as long as we're not realizing that, then we're in maya. We think, oh, it's nice. Yeah. Just see what nice cancer I have here. Look at that. You know, nice cancer. Decorating, ornamenting it. You know, but the body is a fungus, a bacteria, you know, with its roots down into the soul, you know, growing like that. You know, and then it produces the mind and the selfish thoughts and things and plans from that, then we get grow gross bodies. That mind contacts the material elements, and the proper thing, it grows a gross body. And of course, it also can be spiritual too. For like, you know, prison guard is different than the prisoners. He's very nice. You know? But generally speaking, that's the whole point. You know, so only when we realize that this body is a disease are we in our normal consciousness. Like that. So you got, therefore, you have to, you know, if you realize that without having it grossly educated, you see that. At the very end, is yeah, you just see this body is just, because it's always going to come to that. It's just impossible. Every body rots, you know. Okay, well, if it doesn't rot, then what rots? It's like you're dead, and before you can burn the thing up, it's already becoming, you know, just a bunch of bacteria. We all think, oh, bacteria is inferior, fungus, just cancer. But that's the material nature, ultimately. Yeah. So we have to, we can come to that consciousness just by, you know, voluntary austerities and stuff like that. Yeah. But in the end, that's the conclusion. You know, it's different dramas, English literature. You know, somebody's, I think the Duchess of Malfi, it's a famous play, and one princess has been strangled to death, you know, because of her intrigue and everything else like that, and her maidservant's there, and one guy who's kind of like her well-wisher and supporter comes in and is looking at the dead body and says, actually the maidservant is somebody else's maidservant, you know, and she says, get thee to thy mistress. You know, get thee to thy mistress. Go to your mistress, and tell her. This is what is life? A bunch of puff paste and crudded milk. Go to your mistress and tell her that even if she paints her eyebrows an inch thick, it all comes to this. Very nice. A lot of realization. That's it. So if you realize that, you know, without becoming crudded milk, you know. Having an example, but usually it's like that. It's just usually again, sannyas is there for husband and wife because you really cannot get free from this attachment without actually separating physically. You know, and even if you're physically separated, Prabhupada says, "I've been a sannyasi for many years. Still, I think about my wife. This is natural." You know, he said, "But I don't go back. That's intelligence. So intelligence is keeping the proper position because I want to get free from this bodily conception. I actually want to know who my you know, partner really is." You know. You're not this body, you know. Who is Sri Hari? Do you know what his swarup is? Okay, why not? That's then you can have a real relationship instead of playing with these dollies. Take the dollies and oh, okay, you're a cow. Okay, now we can do something for Krishna, you know, like that. So that's you know, marriage is an attempt to control this, and then you go through different stages, and hopefully by sannyas you're. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur never took sannyas because he was able to come to the stage of complete samadhi. And someone said, why are you going to take sannyas? And he said, what's the use? And I was like, because he... Babaji, as far as I know, he was just sitting completely absorbed in pastimes, and sometimes he would contact the material world just enough to maybe to eat something like that. You know, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj? Either he's gone insane or else he's on this platform now. I talk to his disciples, they say he's just like... He's just thinking, he'll talk about something, he'll just go off another tangent like that and stuff. And he's just like, it appears he's like, you know, just achieve a kind of level of detachment and just transferring his consciousness to Goloka. But that's the whole goal. You know? So yeah, we have to realize, Sarjuna, the same thing too. He by the end, he had to see the Virat Roop in chapter 10, 11, 11 Bhagavad Gita. That everything is... What did he finally realize? He saw everything, all places, all times, all possible things you could see. And what was his conclusion? Huh? Who's Krishna? What is that Virat Roop? What is the universal form? What is my body made of? Yeah? Yeah. Who are you, ultimately? Yeah. In the world, I've come to engage all. And that's what he realized. And what is the ultimate destroyer? Cancer. Yeah, this is in the end. It's like it reduces everything down to the most lowest possible organic level. You know, it's a completely undifferentiated, useless, meaningless, you know, destructive cell. You know, like that. You know, yeah. I guess it's even worse than being atoms and molecules, because atoms and molecules are supposed to have so much order and organization like that. But cancer is just like it's just No form, you know, no purpose. God. Okay.
Said that, God. Somebody's coming from a certain, I mean, we have to look at people's activities.
Yeah.
And think about their background and think about their family. I mean, Chandrasekhar Mahadevi, he was out a couple of years ago.
Ah.
So there, he mentioned one thing, that one time he was driving a car in New York.
Yeah.
And he parked somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the guy came, buddy, move this car from here.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm going to move this now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, my God, his car, and then it's a complex, and then went and just saw his car was hit by somebody. So he was mad. The person who was mad on Maharaj, his car was hit by somebody else.
Oh.
And he was very angry.
You're angry at cars.
And he had a person who hit his car and left and ran and got hit on another.
Oh.
So he wanted to be
revenge.
He was angry and he was shouted at Maharaj. So, like, some many times
you
have to see.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting into
and
going into this kind of thing,
you
have to see the bigger picture of the whole thing.
There's a movie I saw on the bus in Peru. It was called The Beast, in Peruvian Spanish subtitles. I wish I could find out what the English name was. It was really good. And it was about Afghanistan and the Russians in Afghanistan. And one tank commander and two tanks came to attack some little village in the mountains that had been supporting the rebels. And then they, you know, they tried to get revenge. It went on and on like that. And the thing was, everybody was evil. It was like the guy, the tank commander was the guy who was like the kind of the beast, like that, really the evil guy, and it was really ultimate evil. But as it was going on, it was like, you know, first day they came, the guy's morning wakes up, okay, very nice, you know, and birds singing, little village in the mountains, little mosque. And then all of a sudden there's like this noise, like, wow. It's like some horrible monster attacking, you know. And it shows in the distance there's these two Russian tanks coming, shooting at the village. And they have these gas masks on, like, you know, like horrible things, you know. So one guy runs up atop, they have a rocket launcher and blows one of them up, and he turns and blows him up, and then ladies come out and are trying to beat on the tanks with rocks and toss, you know, poison gas grenades out, and these women are dead on top of the tanks. And then somebody won't surrender, so he puts him under the tread and rolls over him while his wife's watching. And it just shows them, you know. And they take off, and then these guys are, Muslim guys are after them, you know, on foot, on bicycles, everything else going after them. And things happen one after another. And there's one Muslim guy who's actually a part of the tank crew, who's like, you know, become a Russian guy, and his children were educated in Moscow. But this Russian tank commander didn't believe it, so he killed him, you know. There's an intellectual guy. He tosses him off. He's trying to talk to the Russian guy, the Muslim guy, about what's right and what's wrong, you know. And he says, so even if I kill your brother, if I say whatever it is, one word, he says, please give me shelter, you're obligated to give me shelter. He says, yeah, that's how beautiful Muslim culture is, this thing is there. So they, you know, the tank commander tosses him out and puts rocks on top of him with hand grenades under him. And so finally he's kind of saved by the Muslims, they're going to kill him. And he says, oh, what is this, Mustafa, or whatever the word is like that. And they're going to kill him. And they say, what did you say? You said Mustafa, you know. Then this kind of good Muslim guy says, well, you got to give them shelter. The women don't want to do it. They want to kill them. So he restrains the women. And he's sharing food with them. And he helps them, you know, stop the tank. And finally, this thing is stopped. These guys are just on their feet, you know, running like these tank commander and two faithful guys, murderers with him. But it came out beforehand that he was a child. His parents were killed by the Germans. Everything else. Horrible, you know. But the Communist Party just took him and saved him and made him up. So his thing was, anybody who was against the Communist Party, they should die, like that. So it was the whole thing. You see, everybody, when you got into it, had a reason why the way they were. And even this guy, you could see at that point, that's why the way he was. He couldn't be any other way, because he'd grown up with his terror and everything else as a child. So for him, the Communist Party was like, to insult the Communist Party was like trying to kill his father, you know. So these rebels were against the Communist Party. So these guys are running. The movie starts off with a quote from Rudyard Kipling, and it says, when you're lying face down on the plains of Afghanistan and the women are coming out with knives to cut you up, put your musket under your head and blow your head off. So it's just like the British had this experience, and the Russians had this experience. You know? So finally these guys are going to kill them. This one good Muslim guy says, no, it's enough killing. The Russian guy says, no, the Muslim guy agrees, okay, just let them run back to their lines like that. But then after a few minutes, the women come, right? And they've got the guy's boots like that, and bloody knives like that, you know? And then the husband just slaps his wife, you know, the woman a few times like that, and she cries and stuff, you know? But you can see, they're women, and they kill their husbands, you know? And so it's just, you know? Everybody is, you know, the women weren't merciful, didn't forgive them and stuff. Yeah. But that's what you expect, you know, it's just the way. That's why your husband should have been with them and controlled them and stuff like that, you know, and stuff. They got away, you know. Yeah. So it's a very good movie in that sense. It was just to show that everybody had a reason why they weren't women, you know, and stuff. And so from Krishna's point of view, everything's going on the way it should be. So Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Okay. Pets ki jai. Temple mascot ki jai. With a cow. Temple cow. That's okay.